The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Madam Speaker, the President of the United States.
And is proud to be the first, but not the last. Ladies. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the Vice President of the.
People would ask me, knowing what you know now, do you wish like you had a third term? And I used to say, you know what, if I could make an arrangement where I had a stand-in, a front man or front woman, and they had an earpiece in, and I was just in my basement in my sweats looking through the stuff, and then I could sort of deliver the lines, but somebody else was doing all the talking and ceremony, I'd be fine with that.
President-elect Joe Biden, rather.
Keep government open. We have to do those imminently, more imminently even, to address the full Obama agenda of building back better.
I don't know when I'm leaving. This is an honor and a privilege, and I love working for President Biden every single day.
Secondly, we're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
Folks, we got a lot of work to do. I don't even need you to get me elected. I need you once I'm elected.
God bless you all, and may God protect our troops. Thank you. Go get him.
Go get him. Thank you. Go get him. That's certainly a first for the end of a State of the Union address. But what about, I think, honestly, you listen to an hour of this speech coming from a fake president. And probably the comment that impacted me the most was when the speaker introduced Joe Biden as the President of the United States. So much fakery and phoniness. And then these people get on the stage and they lecture the world, even after they've stolen an election. They go on and on and on about freedom and democracy, even as they squash any kind of dissent. Even as they take away your freedoms, they go on and on. It's like this, what was it, the Truman Show, where this guy realizes his whole life is a reality show. It's like every day what we see coming out of these seats of government, whether it's in Ottawa or Washington, D.C., the Israelite nations, it's just all fake. It's all theater. Nancy Pelosi kind of rubbing her hands together last night, or Chuck Schumer, he gets up, he's supposed to clap, but then it's not time to clap, he sits down. It's all for show. It's all for show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream of this show on CRN Digital Talk Radio Channel 3 on that platform. To get to the video stream, though, you have to go to our website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live. You get to the live stream, 11 a.m. every day here in the central time zone of the United States. 11 a.m. We've also got the previous episodes of this show posted if you'd prefer to view on demand. So we have a lot to get to on today's show. We'll get to the State of the Union, or as some were calling it, the state of the European Union and Ukraine, or the state of Ukraine and Russia. he did get around to the popular talking points from the radical left, the communist left. But really, how do you get up and talk about the state of the United States, the Union, after the past 13 months? He said a little bit on border security, and he's let in 3 million illegals. He said a little bit about inflation in the economy, and it's just skyrocketing, and the economy is in the toilet. But what about this fake administration? Yesterday, this Wisconsin special counsel report put together by a retired Wisconsin Supreme Court justice. His name is Michael Gableman. So this is not, you know, Rudy Giuliani or Jenna Ellis. These are not attorneys representing Donald Trump. It's not Donald Trump saying this. It's a former justice who worked at the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and he's put together this 136-page report on the election steal in Wisconsin, November 3rd, 2020. And he concluded that the state should decertify the results of that November election. And of course, there's critics, there's even lawyers that have said, oh, it's impossible, you can't do this. And as he says, it's been done before. Not at the level of president, but a sitting congressman or someone that was voted in fraudulently. They got in, they found out that it was stolen, and so they went to correct the wrong. And he's saying, you know, as a judge, as an attorney myself, that's what I'm recommending be done. That kind of recommendation, by the way, it wasn't even put forward after the audit in Arizona. Like I've pointed out on this show over and again, you've got these audits, and they don't go far enough because they're just counting paper. They're counting stacks of papers instead of going deeper to find out where the fraudulent votes are and which ones should be discarded because of the fraud. But at least here's one who's done this massive 8-month investigation, and he's got the courage to say it should be overturned. We had illegal activity going on here. Listen to this. This is the special counsel, Michael Gableman, and he's had resistance every step of the way of this investigation. This is what he had to say as testimony from yesterday, clip 6.
When I started this process, when I started this whole procedure, I had no other goal in mind than to find the truth. And while we don't have it entirely yet, we're getting there. And one of the important truths that has to be mentioned is recited in chapter 1 of our report, and that is that the Center for Tech and Civic Life's $8,800,000 Zuckerberg Plan grant with the cities of Milwaukee, Madison, Racine, Kenosha, and Green Bay facially violates the Wisconsin law prohibiting election bribery.
Wow. So Zuckerberg, yeah, the Facebook guy, that's right. It violates the bribery statute with respect to election law. Margot Cleveland at The Federalist, she says it's illegal to offer anything of value to or for any person in order to induce any elector to go to the polls or vote. It's illegal to do this. Zuckerberg sends in his cash, and he sends the $9 million to these dark blue counties. He listed them off there, this special counsel. And, of course, the money was used, essentially, to buy votes. And that's illegal in Wisconsin. Sending all this money into these overwhelmingly Democrat strongholds. It was as Joe Biden said it was in October of 2020. Who can forget the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of America? They set it up. And now the fraud is being discovered. It was discovered within days of November 3rd, if we're honest. and Rudy Giuliani just presenting stacks and stacks of affidavits. Witnesses, you've got witnesses. You've got video evidence. You've got special counsels. You've got a former justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. You've got Mark Zuckerberg, who's bribing people. I mean, he's contributing to illegal activity. And you're probably not going to hear anything about this on the mainstream media, probably not even at Fox News. I didn't check all of them last night. Of course, they were consumed with coverage on the fake president giving his State of the Union address. Cleveland says this, according to the report, Priscilla Chan and Mark Zuckerberg providing financial providing financing that allowed the Center for Tech and Civic Life to offer nearly $9 million in Zuckbucks, as they call it, to Milwaukee, Madison, Racine, Kenosha, and Green Bay counties. In exchange, the Zuckerberg Five, as the report called the counties, in effect operated Democratic get-out-the-vote efforts. Those grant funds then paid for illegal drop boxes to be placed in Democratic voting strongholds. Now, this is something that the Wisconsin Supreme Court has also weighed in on recently, that these drop boxes were illegal, according to the laws. So all of these laws that were broken, and yet the chorus of the talking heads rush to the microphone and say, look, what's past is past. We can't go back and litigate 2020. We just have to move forward. And oh, by the way, if we're going to do anything as we move forward, we've got to ensure that rampant cheating can continue. Illegal drop boxes placed in Democratic voting strongholds. So Mark Zuckerberg was, as I say, funding illegal activity. So he should be prosecuted. In a world where there's fairness and justice, of course he should. Cleveland says this, the special counsel's report also highlighted the Wisconsin Election Commission illegal directive to clerks to ignore the state election code governing voting in nursing homes. So even the clerks were basically saying, look, go ahead and do this. Well, it's illegal. No, it's fine. Go ahead and do it. I mean, you've got all kinds of illegality, top to bottom here. And this special counsel, as you heard from that soundbite, is saying, look, all I'm trying to do is get to the truth. Does the truth matter anymore? It says here, in several nursing home locations throughout the state, 100% registered voters cast a ballot in the 2020 election. How about that? All of these elderly people in nursing homes, they all voted. 100% participation. I mean, that's an extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization, if ever there was one. You know how many votes? Do you know how many votes Joe Biden supposedly won by in Wisconsin? 21,000. That's it. So they had that extensive voter fraud organization at play, and that's how they won. That's how they won. And then you get all of the theater last night. Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States. Is he the president? Who is the president? And why do so many people keep making that mistake now, 13 months in? And Obama's not been in the White House in 5+ years. And yet people still, it's been so enjoyable working for President Biden. I mean, it's been such a wonderful honor and privilege to carry out the Obama agenda, said Nancy Pelosi. And then we're just supposed to play along with the reality show and pretend that all of this theater is real. I mean, you want to look at good theater. Don Jr. brought this out last night. On Monday, Joe Biden, the fake president, he gets out of the helicopter and walks across this massive White House lawn. And he's got a face mask on. And there's no one around him. He's outside. He's getting vitamin D. It's a beautiful day. He won't answer questions about Ukraine. He just basically stumbles across the White House lawn with a mask on. And then the very next day, he walks into the House of Representatives chamber. He's greeting everybody, handshakes, hugs, selfies. He's got no mask. Hardly anyone in there had a mask on. I guess it's okay now. So the science on Monday said, get out of the helicopter, and if you're around nobody, if the closest person is 100 yards away, put on a mask. And then the very next day, no masks for anybody. So much fakery and phoniness. And it's been there for 2 years. 2 years, really, even going back to the last year of the Trump administration, as they used the COVID as a pretext to steal the election. And then they get up on the world stage and they preach. Oh, do they preach? Did I play the democracy soundbite number 13?
We've gathered in this sacred space, a citadel of democracy. The free world is holding him accountable. We're providing support to the Ukrainians in their fight for freedom. In the battle between democracy and autocracies, democracies are rising to the moment. We are stronger today than we were a year ago. Protect freedom and liberty. Expand fairness and opportunity. And we will save democracy.
They're saving democracy, these communists. The very ones that are stealing your freedoms, that stole a democratic election, are lecturing us about freedom and democracy. And what about all of the lapel pins of Ukrainian flags? The same people that say the U.S. flag or the Canadian flag are racist? Or that they kind of take us back to the colonial past in the case of Canada. Or that it's dangerous. I went into this Trump gathering and I saw a lot of U.S. flags. You did. Now all of a sudden everyone's wearing the Ukraine flag of all things. In the American State of the Union address. Now it's freedom. Now it's democracy. Now we're fighting for your freedoms. We're fighting for Ukraine's freedoms. You really, as I've said so many times, you can't make this up. You just can't make this up. Listen to Tucker Carlson's take on how that, as we said yesterday, Ukraine is the new COVID-19, and it happened it's perfectly timed, really. What a metaphor. He's got a mask on Monday in the middle of nowhere, and then no mask, and all of a sudden, the first 20 minutes of the State of the Union, America, the first 20 minutes is about Ukraine and Russia and the European Union. Here's Tucker Carlson from last night, clip 10.
The White House understands the invasion of Ukraine is a chance to change the subject. It is what Bloomberg News described today as a political reset. So forget what Biden did to your country and your economy and your children's school. Joe Biden is Winston Churchill now.
Right, he's Winston Churchill. He is toe-to-toe with Joe. Toe-to-toe with Vladimir Putin. Listen to him last night. This is just a montage, a sampling from the first 15, 20 minutes, clip 12.
When dictators do not pay a price for their aggression, they cause more chaos. They keep moving. Putin's latest attack on Ukraine was premeditated and totally unprovoked. He thought he could divide us at home, in this chamber, in this nation. He thought he could divide us in Europe as well. But Putin was wrong. Like many of you, I spent countless hours unifying our European allies. We countered Russia's lies with the truth. Putin is now isolated from the world more than he has ever been. We're choking Russia's access to technology that will sap its economic strength and weaken its military for years to come. Together with our allies, we're providing support to the Ukrainians in their fight for freedom. I'll be honest with you, as I always promised I would be. A Russian dictator invading a foreign country has cost around the world. And I'm taking robust action. But I want you to know, we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. When the history of this era is written, Putin's war in Ukraine will have left Russia weaker and the rest of the world stronger.
So there's your Winston Churchill character now in this this ongoing reality show. He is choking the life out of Putin. Putin is isolated and afraid. Putin has been cornered. Putin walked right into our trap. And he thought we were going to be divided. We're united. We're coming together. We're working from a position of strength. Really? Now we're supposed to believe this? Monday it was, you got to wear a mask or you're going to die. Tuesday, mask, you don't need the masks. And have you heard about Ukraine? Vladimir Putin, he's the new Hitler. You know what our position is on his prophesied role. Go back and watch yesterday's show or the one before it. But these people, they will use anything to distract, to deceive, to mislead. They lie. It's all that they have. It's all for theater. It's all for show. It's all, in some cases, the gaffes and that sort of thing. It's embarrassing. It's shocking. Listen to Kamala Harris. Listen to her. This is the one that Jill Biden, just the other day, just this week, introduced as the president, and then she had to correct herself. And here's the fake vice president. This is her analysis on the situation in Ukraine. Clip one.
Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a powerful country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So basically, that's wrong.
Wow, this is the Vice President of the United States of America? We had to kind of dig into that to make sure it wasn't a joke. Ukraine's a smaller country. Russia's a big country. Russia invaded, so that makes Russia wrong. She's the Vice President of the United States of America. Listen to what she said, by the way, about the 2020 election, clip four.
Because as we all know, elections matter. And when folks vote, they order what they want. And in this case, they got what they asked for.
Can't make it up. They got what they asked for? Were the vote? Let's just play along and say that the vote was legit. Did the voters ask for wide open borders and 3 million illegals? Did they ask for out of control inflation? Did they ask for a weakening dollar? Did they ask for fuel prices to double? Did they ask for uncontrolled crime in the streets? Out of control crime. Is that what the voters asked for? Joe Biden last night talking about how that they want to fund the police. Oh, so now it's funding. This is clip eight.
We should all agree the answer is not to defund the police. It's to fund the police. Fund them. Fund them.
There you see the Republicans actually stand up to applaud. Fund them. How many montages are there on social media with Biden and others talking about defunding the police 2 seconds ago? And now they see what it's done to our cities. They see what it's done to San Francisco, to Dallas, to Detroit, to New York. All of these big cities with radical leftist mayors. Or in the case of some, states with governors. Yeah, we've got to handcuff the police. And they did that, and there's out-of-control crime. Is that what the voters asked for? But going back to what Kamala said there, because as we all know, elections matter. Well, to correct her a bit, stolen elections matter. And we're seeing what has happened to the United States of America and the earth-shaking jolts going on all over the world because of what happened on November 3rd, 2020. When we come back, we'll update you on some of the things we've been saying about Germany, the newly rearmed Germany, the newly militaristic Germany, the biggest news to come out of Europe over the past week. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Flurry's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
The headlines just continue to pour in. This from Die Welt in Germany. Why a rearmed Germany is exactly what the world needs. Yeah, the world is celebrating this development. We wrote about it. We've written about it, I should say. Mr. Armstrong's written about it for decades. And now it's something that we're seeing fulfilled, this prophecy of this turn, this sudden and dramatic turn. And then, incredibly, as I said earlier this week, the world actually offering its hearty endorsement. This is great. This is what the world needs. We need a militarized Germany. Says here in this piece that Germany has changed fundamentally over the past week. It has arrived at the reality that it has that it had so stubbornly and with convenient idealism refused to face. That is remarkable. Spectacular, actually. The language being used by these publications, this really is a, they acknowledge this really is a stunning reversal. It's prophesied. I'll bring you to that in a moment. Tomorrow's news today. You hear this first at the Trumpet. Now we're seeing it happen. This is good news, especially for those who had feared that the country was making itself comfortable as a federal clown republic. It's a decisive time, says Die Welt. We're starting afresh now. It's a chance to let go of old and cherished illusions and accept the demanding seriousness of tricky reality. Our country has shown that this is possible. It's time to let go of that old history. We're getting a fresh start now, says Germany. There's a new study coming out of Germany that shows the German people, the German public, overwhelmingly support this sudden and dramatic shift. It's got the support of the world, after all. All of the Germans are on board with it. Spiegel's already breaking down how the money's going to be spent. Over $100 billion. Yeah, they're going to put aircraft at the top of the priorities. This is from Spiegel. At the top of the list is a successor to the ancient Tornado fighters. It says, Scholz indicated that the current strategy calls for a hybrid solution, essentially taking elements of the modernized Eurofighter and from the new American superfighter F-35 from Lockheed Martin. It says the project alone is estimated to cost about 15 billion euros. And, of course, Richard points out in his analysis that he sent over with the news that the sole reason Germany's getting these planes or making them like after the F-35 model is so that they can carry nuclear bombs. And as you know, there's a lot of American-made nuclear bombs sitting right now in Europe. And they went on and on, the communists here in the United States, they went on and on about what Donald Trump was doing to NATO. What does this sudden and dramatic turn in Germany mean for NATO? Germany's not coming out with announcements saying, look, we want to contribute more to the NATO alliance. We want to support and reinforce the NATO alliance. Germany's saying we need to rebuild our military. We need to think about our needs first. and everyone is applauding. That is remarkable. Germany's also, you might have seen headlines yesterday, they're debating whether or not they should reintroduce conscription. This is unbelievable. George Friedman, he's about one of the only ones. I mentioned that tweet yesterday from that analyst that basically was warning of a Germany that dominated Europe. We can't see this happen again, can we? And yet now he's all on board. Now he says, hey, Germany's got to rebuild its military. Forget about what I said for the past 12 years. George Friedman's an exception to that. He said, aside from the revitalization of NATO, this may well be the most important consequence of Russia's invasion. So he's very close to tomorrow's news today level of analysis. This is the biggest, most important consequence of the Russian invasion. For sure it is. Friedman says, recall that a powerful militarized Germany has historically been a destabilizing force in Europe. Can we just step back for a moment and use some critical thinking based upon a good analysis of history? Can't do it. Can't do it. Ukraine! I'm wearing the lapel. I'm wearing a lapel after all. We got to get a military in Germany. This is the way people are reasoning. They've lost their minds. They've lost their abilities to think critically on any given subject. As I say, so much of it is for theater. It's for show. He says, in geopolitics, solutions to one problem can breed new ones. Well, that's some pretty good analysis there. And when you understand even an ounce of truth about human nature, about the deceitful heart of man, desperately wicked, says Jeremiah 17:9. And the proverb, I mentioned it yesterday, Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Friedman says, in geopolitics, solutions to one problem can breed new ones. Okay, so Germany's building its military. It's a solution. We've got to stand up to Putin. But what does a militarized Germany, what does that do for the stability of Europe as a continent? Historically, just look at history. You know the answer. You're a viewer of the Trumpet Daily. You watch the Key of David. You've read our material. You know about the Holy Roman Empire in prophecy. Call our operators to request your free copy, 1-866-930-3024. One of our viewers reminded me of this article my father wrote in September of 2018, so almost 4 years ago now, Germany and Russia's Secret War Against America. Go back and check out that article. Germany and Russia's Secret War Against America. Here you have this fake State of the Union, and toe-to-toe Joe is there talking about, oh, he's really taking it to Putin. He's really punching Putin right in the nose. And here in this article, tomorrow's news today, the Trumpet magazine, thetrumpet.com, my father talks about how Russia and Germany are working behind the scenes to bring down the NATO alliance and the United States of America. These are the stories behind the headlines, and so many of the headlines are fake as well. My father wrote, this is September 2018, what's not obvious. I mean, he talks about what is obvious with respect to Russia and the threat of NATO and so on. But my father continues saying, what is not obvious is the fact that Germany also wants to eliminate NATO. Really? Why would Germany want to eliminate NATO? Well, because the United States, since 1945, the United States is the power that basically controlled NATO and the security for all 20-something of those nations in it. My father says, but Bible prophecies about the next resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire show, listen to this now, show that Germany will soon be spending substantially more on its military. That's September of 2018. That, my friend, is tomorrow's news today, because that happened on Sunday. Germany will soon be spending substantially more on its military. You heard it here first. Some of you may have dismissed it. when going back before 2018, we were talking about this in 2015 or 2010. Maybe you dismissed it saying, oh, you've been talking about a remilitarized Germany for so long. I've had enough. I can't wait forever. It says, in the November-December 2008 issue, I wrote, this is my father quoting himself, he says, did you know that Germany and Russia have probably already dealt with their most urgent differences? He says, I believe that Germany's leaders may have already agreed to a deal with Russia, a modern Hitler-Stalin pact where Germany and Russia divide countries and assets between themselves. Yeah, just get in there, carve it up, carve up Ukraine, make sure that Russia's got its interest at play, and then Germany's got its interest as well. Then my father says this, then in 2014, Putin struck again. Russia annexed the Crimea from Ukraine and asserted control over the eastern part of the country. Germany once again said little and did nothing. This was especially suspicious, given the fact that just before the incursion, Ukraine had been on the track to join the EU. So, I mean, we've been through so much of this before. And Putin just keeps inching his way a little bit further. But now, I mean, the different wrinkle this time around is Germany has, just looking at it on the surface, Germany has put its foot down. And here is the, here's the story again behind the headlines. This was a perfect pretext for Germany to come out with an announcement to the whole world saying we are going to rebuild our military. And the world, just like the Democrats at the State of the Union address last night, stood up and cheered. Every single word was applauded. Germany remilitarizing itself? That's what's happening. It says here, but not if it had previously agreed that Russia could have control of Ukraine or part of it. That's my father picking it up in the middle of the thought. It says here, could it be that Germany agreed to let Russia make these expansionist moves in exchange for Russia not interfering with Germany's conquest of the Balkans back in the 1990s? We heard about that one yesterday from Victor Davis Hanson. Remember that? Remember that German-led invasion that resulted in 130,000 people dying? And the U.S., like dupes, just brought right into it. It was U.S. firepower carrying out Germany's expansionist ambitions. And that happened just 25, 30 years ago. Now the Russian bear's on the march. Now, I mean, the latest cause, if you really love freedom, you got to put on the Ukraine flag lapel pin, because that shows you really care about humanity. Forget, never mind the Uyghurs being exterminated in China. Forget about them. Come on, get with the program. Never mind the rape rooms in China or the extermination camps. It's Russia and Ukraine. That's the only storyline you need, especially now that COVID's over. It says, history shows that Germany and Russia are not actually partners. When they enter into peace deals and economic partnerships, it is a signal that either or both are preparing for some kind of an imperialistic exploit. That's thetrumpet.com, September 2018. And look at the news today. It's both Germany and Russia preparing for some kind of imperialistic exploit. Russia keeps pushing in Ukraine, and Germany announces to the world, hey, it's time for us to build our military. It's time for us to get some F-35s. It's time for us to have some real firepower. It's time for us to take the lead militarily in Europe, in this union of nations, in this seventh, to use the Bible's language, this seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. Where, oh, where is this leading? You know where it's leading. Victor Davis Hanson touched on it yesterday. I gave you this quote. One of the oddest commentaries, he said, about the Russian invasion on Ukraine is the boilerplate reaction that borders can't change in modern Europe, or this does not happen in the 21st century. Well, we're just too sophisticated. We've just progressed so far. Hansen says, but why in the world should the 21st century be exempt from the pathologies of the past 20 centuries? That's a good question. Why should we so carelessly assume that human nature has somehow gotten better or it's improved since 1945? Mr. Armstrong, for his part, this is in the Wonderful World Tomorrow book, he says, when we take a hard, cold, realistic view of conditions and trends, they do point inevitably to a fast approaching world crisis of combined nuclear war, starvation, uncontrollable disease epidemics, crime, violence, and the extinction of human life on the planet. So consider that analysis, that forecast. That's probably from the 1960s. And compare it to the boilerplate reaction, as Davis Hanson says, of so many of the commentators and the experts that say, well, certainly this will, there's no way, is there a threat of nuclear war here? No, there's not. It just can't happen. That's what the fake president said yesterday. It's impossible. It's impossible. Look, the only thing that would make it worse, it's pretty good today, actually. It would just be worse, or at least bad, a whole lot worse if Donald Trump was in office. Other than that, I mean, look at what we've done. The world is uniting against Putin. Putin, I mean, he thought he was going to roll over Kiev, and I mean, he's met with a wall of strength. Is it really a wall of strength? We'll soon find out. Is Putin on the way out? Are the oligarchs going to get rid of Putin? Well, what does your Bible have to say? Let's view all of these events through the lens of Bible prophecy. And you step back and you look at the one hand, Russia over here and Germany over here, and this weak, fake, phony administration in Washington, D.C. Bible prophecy is accelerating. These events are unfolding at a dizzying pace. And yet you look at, well, Mr. Armstrong, when he talk about modern education, he talk about the fundamental flaw of education today and how that they're all evolutionists. They all believe, and evolutionists believe that everything's just getting a little bit better. It's progressing. It's progressing along. And, of course, they view technology and things of that nature. And they say, well, look at that. Look at that as proof. They don't look at the horror of war and the suffering that goes on all over the world and the starving and the malnutrition and the crime and the violence. Here again, which forecast is right? Mr. Armstrong said, if you take a realistic view of conditions and trends, you know that this is leading to a grand smash of an explosion. If you understand the truth about human nature, you know where human nature controlling mass extinction weapons, you know where it's leading. 2 Timothy 3:13 says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. So the Bible tells you all that you need to know about human nature, Jeremiah 17:9, Romans 8:7. And then it says, evil men and seducers. It's prophesied, that evil men and seducers will get worse and worse as we get closer to the return of Christ. Verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. And there's lots of learning, there's lots of information, there's lots of knowledge, more knowledge available than ever before. You can get to it with a push of a button. But of course, it's surrounded by all kinds of fake knowledge as well, all kinds of misinformation, broadcasted every day. Theater, a reality show, that's what it is. Mystery of the Ages says this, few stop to think about it, but when you do, could anything be wrapped in more mystery than this world's civilization? How do you explain the astonishing paradox? A world of human minds that can send astronauts to the moon and back, produce the marvels of science and technology, transplant human hearts, yet cannot solve simple human problems of family life and group relationships or peace between nations. How do you explain that? This paradox. Well, he did explain it. It's in his book, Mystery of the Ages, chapter 4, The Mystery of Civilization, you can actually understand and know the truth about why human civilization is the way that it is, why it's on the brink, why it's leading us on a road to ruin. Jesus said so in Matthew 24, 21 and 22. Mystery of the Ages says this: we were born into the 20th century. He wrote it back in the 1980s, of course. We were born into this 20th century world as it is. We take it for granted, but we can't explain it. It's like viewing a movie at a point already near the end. We see what's coming, or rather occurring, at that point, but not having seen it from the beginning and not knowing how events develop to the point of viewing, we simply cannot understand what we're seeing. We can't get any context. We can't understand the big overview. We're just swimming in the present, just lost in the present. One day it's COVID and masks. The next day it's Ukraine and lapel pins. Genesis chapter 3, notice this. I think we have time to cover a few verses over here. But if you look at the foundation of this world, this human civilization, as it's discussed in the opening chapters of Genesis, you can see from chapter 1, verse 26, God set out to reproduce himself. Of course, before all of this had happened, Lucifer rebelled. He led a third of the angels in rebellion against God. God left them, or at least Lucifer, on the throne of this earth, even as he was carrying out Plan B, the family plan. Reproducing himself, God said, let us make man, us, by the way, us, God and the Word, not a Trinity, for sure not. That's nowhere in the Bible. Let us, God and the Word, make man in our image and likeness. Let's reproduce ourselves. And so God became a father when the Word came as Jesus Christ, the Son. And Jesus Christ, your Bible says, is to soon marry the church of God. God's church. One church. A beautiful bride. It's mentioned in Revelation 19. Read it. We could go through some of these proofs, if you'd like, at a different time, I suppose. Get Mystery of the Ages. It's a family plan. That's why God's referred to as a father, and Christians are referred to as sons, children. And then also as the bride of Christ. This was Plan B. Satan was observing this plan. He was observing the education that God was giving to Adam and Eve there in the Garden of Eden. The essential knowledge that they needed. And then God allowed the devil to try to deceive them. And what's more is that God knew. He knew that the devil most likely would deceive our first parents. So this is Genesis 3:1. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the eternal God had made. And he said to the woman, I mean, he's referred to, the devil's referred to as a serpent, I think is in Revelation 12. So this is Satan. This is Satan. Eve sitting down and having dialogue with the devil. We just went through this in class the other day. God says that, you know, if dissidents come along and they bring false doctrine, shut the door on them. Don't even entertain it. Don't listen to it. Eve didn't do that. She sat down and thought, well, I'll discuss this. I mean, I want to get Satan's side. I want to get the devil's side of the story. And look at what it resulted in. She should have slammed the door. Verse 2, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. Of course that's not going to happen. God's lying to you. God's a liar. Listen to me. Better yet, listen to yourself. Look, you're smart. You're smart enough to make your own decisions. You can decide what's right and wrong. I mean, don't you think you have the judgment to be able to look at this world, even if the world gets a little bit messy, and to understand, all right, this is what we really need to focus on now. Here's how we solve this problem over here. Verse 5, for God does know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You can decide these things for yourself. You don't need God. You take that godly prerogative, and you set up a civilization based on what you think is right. Verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave to her husband with her, and he did eat. He came along and ate it as well. And God had strictly forbidden this. They disobeyed God. They followed the course of the devil. They decided for themselves what's right and wrong. And notice the action God takes. Verse 22, and the Eternal said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore the Eternal God sent him forth from the garden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, or angels, and a flaming sword, which turned every way, to keep or to protect, to preserve the way of the tree of life. And as Mr. Armstrong explains in Mystery of the Ages, Chapter 4, call our operators, 1-866-930-3024. As he explains in Chapter 4, these actions taken by our first parents, they set the whole course of civilization on the track it's been on for 6,000 years. And this is why the world is the way it is. Mr. Armstrong wrote in The Incredible Human Potential, he said, in other words, when Adam deliberately took of the forbidden tree, to put it in the modern 20th century language, Adam said to God, God, my maker, I reject you as God. I reject your way of life. I reject your government over me. I elect to continue in the way that I choose. I want you to keep your nose out of my affairs. I reject you as the source of basic knowledge. I've taken to myself to determine the determination of the knowledge of what is right and what is wrong. And God replied, I have set clearly before you the way of truth. You have decided, therefore I sentence you and the world that shall come from you to 6,000 years of being cut off from me. And so for 6,000 years, the leaders, the experts of our civilization have reasoned this same way as Adam and Eve. Look, I decide what's right and wrong. And in the case of the authoritarians, they decide it. They make the decree. They take away your freedoms here, or they insist that you have to do this over here. And that's been the way of man. Galatians 1 and verse 4 says, this world is evil. Paul calls it a present evil world. And if you can't see that, then you're blind. You're blind to this truth. But what I'm explaining to you here today is why this world is evil, why this world is getting worse and worse. It's like Friedman said, sometimes the solutions, this has been man's track record, the solutions for this problem turn out to be even bigger problems. And that's what we're witnessing. As man rushes to the world stage to install these solutions that will fix everything. And what have we seen, especially in these last few years? We've just seen it make matters so much worse. The good news, of course, is that this is all prophesied to happen just before the magnificent return of Jesus Christ to this earth, the greatest event in the history of the universe. That's just a few years away from us. Pretty amazing. Get Mystery of the Ages. Study it. Delve into it so that you can understand and know these great mysteries that the rest in this world are totally blind to. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.